making you examine the truth of the Bible, raising questions about what it is that you believe, planting the seeds of real Bible-believing Christianity, always working to bear fruit in everything I do. I guess you could call me the Johnny Appleseed of Bible-believing Christianity. This is the Wonderful Grace Radio Broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all thy sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, letting you know that not every church in town is the same. Not every church in town teaches the same thing. We at the Master Builder Grace Assembly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did everything necessary for our soul's salvation when he died on Calvary's cross and took upon himself all of our sins. We trust his sufficient payment, and God saves our soul. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? You can have the Romans 5:1 peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by placing your faith in that and that alone. We are located at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio, just across the street from the Singular Wireless Store, just south of the Convention Center. We're easy to find because we are located in the IUECWA Union Hall building. You walk in, you go into the auditorium, and you will find the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, and again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. that for verse-by-verse Bible study. And we're in the book of Galatians, a rather difficult book, one that you can make a mess of if you do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth, understanding the difference between mystery and prophecy in your Bible. There's more than one thing going on in your Bible. You need to know that, and you need to differentiate between the two. We also have a website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. It is packed full of audio teachings that you can stream to your computer or download to your MP3 player and take with you wherever you go. Over 200 hours of audio teachings and growing each and every week. All the lessons are put up there. There's complete studies, verse-by-verse studies of the books of the Bible, and you will find it a tremendous help in increasing your understanding of the Word of God. I hope I'm able to get your Sunday off to a marvelous start, so stay tuned. Back in just a moment.
Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus, magnify his holy name.
Now, when I tell you things like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were Old Testament in their doctrine, that according to Hebrews 9:16, that without the death of the testator, there cannot be a New Testament in force. When I tell you things like we need to pay attention to the Apostle Paul, because he is the Apostle to the Gentiles. When I tell you things like we live in the dispensation of the grace of God, and we need to pay attention to things like the revelation of the mystery, which you've probably never heard of in your life. I can relate to 2 Timothy 1:8, where Paul tells us to be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I can relate to the afflictions that you get when you preach according to the Romans 16:25 revelation of the mystery, preaching according to that revelation, not just any old which way, but we preach Christ according to that very revelation of the mystery. Christ, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, that by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto Paul says, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, up until the time that Paul received the revelation of the mystery directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Acts chapter 9 and after, we would not know a lot of the things that we do know. For instance, in Romans 11:25, Paul says, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. How odd that that verse is taken and just ignored by the vast majority of Christians today, because most Christians are, in fact, ignorant of the revelation of the mystery. Paul says, Lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, that until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And because of that very blindness that happened to the nation Israel, they have been set aside in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. You see, all those people over there in that little country in the Middle East called Israel, they are not being regarded as God, as the covenant people in this dispensation of the grace of God, but rather as Gentiles, just like you and I. They just need to be saved by the gospel of the grace of God, how that Christ died on the cross for all our sins, took all our sins upon Himself and paid the price for those sins, that with His death. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, what about Peter, James, and John? You see, Romans 11:1 explains that the little flock of Israel was left in place. I say then, hath God cast away His people? The answer being, of course, God forbid. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. The foreknowledge of God. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, that they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You see, God had a purpose in place, and that a twofold purpose. One, the prophetic program of the nation Israel, that they should be His covenant people and multiply and inherit the earth as His chosen covenant people and earthly prophetic people. We, the Gentiles, the church, the body of Christ, in this, the dispensation of the grace of God, are Gentiles and saved according to Paul's revelation of the mystery. The mystery people, things that have not been revealed until the Apostle Paul received that information again, Acts chapter 9 and after, through that very revelation of the mystery revealed to Paul again, Acts chapter 9 and after, we find in Romans 11:11 where Paul says, I say then, has Israel stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? You see, Israel does have a part to play in times to come. Out there in the tribulation, Israel is going to be the focus of that very tribulation period, and into the prophesied earthly kingdom, they are again going to be the priestly people, the covenant people, the earthly prophetic people, the Israel of God. And now here's the thing that most Christians have missed. You see, the book of Acts is a transition period. It is the setting aside of that very nation Israel, but the believers of the kingdom covenant prophetic earthly program, Peter, James, John, and the little flock of believers, do not get set aside and become Gentiles. Rather, they remain those of the little flock in the prophetic program. We know that through Romans 11:7 and other verses where Paul says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for." That, of course, referring to national Israel, the nation as a corporate body and corporate entity, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So those who believe that Jesus Christ was in fact the prophesied Messiah of Luke chapter 1, then we find that they remain the little flock. They remain the Galatians 6:16 Israel of God, but there are no more of Israel today. There is no more covenant people today. I know that seems foreign. I know that seems strange. If Christianity were coffee, you would say that I was probably the chock full of nuts brand when I tell you some things like this. But we find out new information that through the Apostle Paul, that according to the revelation of the mystery where Paul says, "Brethren, I wish that you would not be ignorant of this mystery." You say, "What mystery?" Colossians chapter 1 verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, we preach the mystery. We preach Christ according to the mystery. We preach Christ crucified because that's the only way that we know Christ. We, the Gentiles, never knew Christ during his earthly ministry because the Lord came but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who his ministry was directed toward, not toward you and me as heathen Gentiles, but according to the revelation of the mystery, we find new information. And by the setting aside of Israel, we, the Gentiles, then get our opportunity to be God's people, that not by works, but by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as complete payment for all our sins. Now, I tell you these things not to try to destroy your faith, but rather to give you understanding, to build up your faith that in Christ, not in me, not in the preacher that stands in front of you on Sunday morning. You need to have faith in Christ, and that through the knowledge of God's perfectly preserved word, his King James authorized Bible. So we do preach the mystery in order to warn and teach others in wisdom. Colossians 2:2, that your hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and to the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, without acknowledging the mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ to give to us, there is no full assurance of understanding. There is no acknowledgement of the mystery, and you cannot mine. You can't dig into the Bible and retrieve all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden from the vast majority of Christianity today. The mystery revealed to Paul effected change in God's dealings with man. We know by Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 that God has at sundry times dealt with different people in different ways throughout the different dispensations in the history of the earth. God, the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, all the time, but yet his dealings with man have changed. God is not dealing with the corporate nation Israel anymore as his priestly covenant people, but rather God is dealing with Gentiles on an individual basis. We find out in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Then in the next verse, we find out that a brand new dispensation has been put in place grace, and that's the dispensation in which we live today, the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul asks you in Ephesians chapter 3, 2, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? If you haven't, then I would have to suggest that you're ignorant of the mystery. Now, ignorance is not being stupid, but rather you have ignored what your Bible says about the new information given to the Apostle Paul only. We find this new information was given by direct revelation, that from the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, how that by revelation he, Christ, made known unto me, Paul, the mystery. Isn't that interesting that that has been passed by and overlooked and tried to be blended in with all the other doctrines of the Bible, absolutely making a mess of your understanding when Paul assures us of his knowledge and his authority concerning the mystery information. In verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 3, he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Truly, just like me as a preacher, Paul was an underdog when it comes to apostleship. You have regarded the 12 that walked with Jesus as being much superior to the lowly apostle Paul. I'm almost certain of it. You have regarded the words of Jesus, the red letters in your Bible, far away above anything in the 13 epistles that Paul wrote. And yet, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:11 says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Paul, the chiefest of the apostles, and yet the most overlooked, the most underrated, the most underdogged apostle in your Bible. No one else, you need to understand this, no one else in your Bible knows about the mystery information prior to the Apostle Paul, and nobody in your Bible understands the information of the mystery like the Apostle Paul. Peter says, ooh, those things that Paul writes, they're hard to understand. He's right, they can be hard to understand, but you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth. You need to rightly divide prophecy away from mystery, because you live in the dispensation where the mystery of God, the revelation of the mystery, is king. But no one else knows about this information prior to Paul. We find that out in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, which in other ages this revelation was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The result, then, of this mystery being revealed is Gentiles are now fellow heirs with Christ, not Israel and the covenant. We're not going to live over there in the Middle East. We don't live on Mount Zion. We don't get any of the promises of Israel because the promises were made to their fathers. Certainly not mine, certainly not yours. We become, Ephesians 3:6, fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's different than the gospel that was being preached by Peter, James, and John. We find out in Romans 8:17 that we become children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, who sits on the throne in heaven. That's where we're going to be, in heavenly places. The mystery people, the church, the body of Christ, has its destiny not in the prophetic earthly kingdom, but rather in the mystery heavenly realm. You expect to go to heaven when you die. Nobody in the Old Testament, nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John ever expected to go to heaven, but rather expected to have a kingdom here on this earth. You see, the wisdom, that we are concerned with is not physical wisdom. It's not accumulating physical lands and physical possessions and all the things that Israel has been promised, but rather spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because it's a spiritual kingdom, we're going to be clothed in spiritual bodies outfitted to operate in heavenly places. Colossians 1:9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see the result of that spiritual understanding. Once you're saved, once you start to study, once you start to reveal to yourself and separate the mystery away from the prophetic program that in your Bible, the understanding starts to creep in, and little by little, the door opens to your understanding and the light bulbs turn on, and there's a result of that. Colossians 1:10 is the result, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is Christ that made us suitable, made us meet to be partakers, not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, no, no. Not by any of our works is a soul saved, but rather only by faith in the sufficient payment that made by Christ and Him alone. What we understand is that we seek that of the mystery information. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Isn't it wonderful to know that God wants us to be intelligent? God wants us to understand. God wants us to be able to read our Bibles and know what He is telling us. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven and see what that is like. I know what this earth is like. Paul tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, which we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here's a key verse, and you need to know this. If you're sitting there thinking, I don't understand any of this. I don't understand any of my Bible. I can't grasp the first concept. There might be a problem. You know, the natural man has a dead spirit. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And the natural man has a soul which is eternal, and that's, of course, going to spend somewhere in eternity, either heaven or hell. You also have a physical body. That's going to be worm food one of these days. The spiritual man reckons his body dead, but has a quickened spirit, has a spirit that's made alive, that by the Holy Spirit of God. And we find out something amazing about understanding the Bible, about comprehending spiritual things, because the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Might I suggest to you that you need to fully trust the Lord for all your salvation, for all the righteousness that you need, for your sufficient payment that made by Christ on the cross. You see, you don't have to do a thing for your own soul's salvation. It's not repent and be baptized. It's not eat the wafer. It's not genuflect at the altar. It's not don't forget to show up at church. It's not tithes and offerings. It's none of those things. It's not living a good life. It's not pretending to be a Christian. It's not acting as if you're the best thing that ever happened. You're not holier than thou. God knows better than that. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ because He was holier than thou. He who knew no sin was made to be sin that you could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is where you need to put your faith. That is where you need to put your trust in Christ and Christ alone, not things of the world, not the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of the world doesn't rightly divide, doesn't recognize that the Bible teaches different things to different groups of people, does not recognize that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, doesn't recognize the revelation of the mystery, and doesn't recognize that, for instance, water baptism has no place in the world today, and it's the dispensation of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, Paul says, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You can make the cross of Christ of none effect in a whole lot of ways. All the things that I just mentioned, any of the things that you can possibly do for your soul's salvation, whether it be achieving salvation or keeping your salvation, not losing your salvation, if you think you can lose your salvation, I can tell you one thing. You've never been saved. Because the Bible makes it clear that you become, Colossians 2:10, complete in Christ. When the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, you're sealed until the day of redemption. That is the earnest of your inheritance. There is no taking it back. Christ can't deny His own body of which you have become a part. You know, most of the world today, 1 Corinthians 1:29, knows not the wisdom of God. But it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'll be a fool for God. I'll be a fool for Christ and make myself a fool preaching 1 Corinthians 1:23, Christ crucified, which unto the Jews was a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Only in Christ lies wisdom. Only in the cross lies salvation. Yes, Israel, God's covenant people, for this the dispensation of the grace of God have been set aside, have no more standing than anybody else. They are just reckoned as normal everyday people needing to be saved, that by trusting in Christ. Israel being set aside, you need to make some decisions. You need to understand some things. You need to know that Ephesians 2:3 in the but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, now God doesn't regard Israel any differently than the rest of the world. He has abolished, verse 15, in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. At one time there was division. At one time God regarded Israel above the Gentiles. At one time there was enmity. At one time you were separated and strangers from God. But now, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the cross on Calvary, through the payment made on your behalf, you are near to Christ and have but to trust in His finished payment. Oh, I wish you didn't think I was wacko when I said things like I have said today, but I'm given instruction, you see. Biblical instruction given to me by the Apostle Paul, given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy instructions, perfect in their form. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, I'm told to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold, the manyfold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. My name, Mark Mumaugh, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We meet at 10 o'clock each and every Sunday morning, 11 o'clock for preaching service, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening for Bible study. I would like to personally invite you to attend this very Sunday or attend via the internet. Go to our website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. Thank you for listening.
Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. For even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus.